All right. The Holy Spirit and gifts classified. We looked at two of them last week. So how the question last week was, how would you classify the gifts given to believers? Last week we looked at Romans 12. And we said all of these gifts should help to motivate us to motivate us to help motivate other people. And to show God's love to them. So this, the prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, contributing, or giving, leading, acts of mercy, all of those things are gifts that are designed to motivate others. So within us, the Holy Spirit gives them to us to motivate others and to show them God's love. So we looked at those, what is that, 7 gifts there. Talk through them a little bit. And then we looked at Ephesians 4, and we said that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, those are all actual people that are given to the church to be used, it says, for the building up, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So those are actual people given to the church. We talked about them for a little bit as well. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12. Go there this morning. First Corinthians 12, we'll read the first 11 verses, then jump down to verse 21 or 27, kind of read the end of the chapter as well. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service with the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then we have where we've looked at this before, one body with many members. And then Paul wraps up chapter 12 in verse 27 through 31. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Now remember, you know, Paul didn't have chapter breaks here, so you know, chapter 13 is just a continuation. He says, I will show you a more excellent way if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. All right. So we look at chapter 13 as, you know, the love chapter. But Paul, and yes, it is, but it's right on the tail of chapter 12. So Paul's just, you know, leading right into it, segueing right into chapter 13 and 14. So it's just transitioning us right in to that, and we'll look at that a little bit later as well. So, you know, here in verses 1 through 11, we have a list of gifts, and then in 27 through 31, we have another list of some gifts. Some of them repeat, some of them don't. But thinking about the Corinthian crowd, this is, I think, what I asked you to do this week if you had time, but thinking about the Corinthians and the whole reason why Paul was writing a letter to them, why does Paul write the way he did in this passage? Anybody have any thoughts?
Because of the paganism,
no? All right, good. All right, good. So the city of Corinth wasn't like a godly place to live. All right, it was, you know, those of you that remember, you know, Fayetteville, what was it called back in the 70s, 80s, 90s? Vietnam.
Yep.
You know, why? What? It's not as bad, but, you know, I still meet people on ski trips in different places, and, you know, where are you from? You know, we'll ride the chairlift. Where are you from, Fayetteville? And they're like, you know, it's like right outside Fort Bragg, and they're like, oh, yeah, my dad, you know, they'll say my dad or Grant, you know, somebody was there, and, you know, that's like Vietnam, right? You know, is it still that bad? And I'm like, well, they've cleaned up a little bit. And, you know, they'll talk about the downtown, right? What was downtown like in the 80s, 70s? Well, I don't know about, I know the 80s, they cleaned it up in the late 80s, 90s, but what, Jim?
I was there in 77, it was a circus.
Yeah, but downtown was full of what?
Guns.
Bars.
Yeah, it was just strip bars and, you know, whatever. You know, it was just wickedness. Trying to suck the money out of the soldiers out at Fort Bragg. You know, so we have to understand Corinth was a lot like that. All right, they have idols and idol prostitution. They have temples to, you know, you name it, idol, it's out there. You know, so they are, you know, very religious in a sense, but very pagan as well. All right, so what else? What else do we know about the Corinthians? Is that it? They're just a bunch of pagan people. All right, they weren't very mature believers. Good, Debbie. You know, they were obviously growing, or hopefully Paul's trying to work with them in that. But, you know, they had some struggles. And so the whole reason that Paul is writing to them is to bring to their attention several areas that they needed to grow in. And so in this idea of the spiritual gifts is one of them. You know, right before chapter 12, you know, look at chapter 11. What's he addressing there at the end of chapter 11? If you have a study Bible, it has a little heading in it. What's he addressing with them there? Like starting in verse 17. Chapter, yeah, the Lord's Supper. You know, what was their issue with Lord's Supper? Yeah, I mean, you know, the rich people were bringing in these huge feasts for their family, and the poor people, you know, they don't even have anything to eat, you know, and you know, it was very divisive in that. And Paul said, you know, hey, stop that. You know, that's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. You know, it's to remember Christ. You know, it's not to see who can, feed themselves the most with the best food. You know, that's not it kind of idea. So he's addressing several areas of weaknesses or things they're lacking. Some even are sinful. All right. What's a major sin that he confronted earlier? Was it in chapter 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, yeah. In chapter 5. Just let's be careful because we have children here. What do you address in chapter 5?
Marriage issues.
Yes, marriage issues. You know, intermarriage issues. You know, a son and a stepmother issue. You know, and he says, you know, he says to the church, he's like, y'all turn a blind eye to this. And he said, the pagans don't even do that. You know, as wicked as the pagans are, you know, and the ungodly, they're, you know, they wouldn't even smile on that one. And be like, well, yeah, that's okay. You know, he's like, they would call that out. So as Paul's addressing these things, you know, why do you think he's addressing this idea of spiritual gifts in chapter 12 then? Kind of with that in the back of your mind. Did the Corinthians have spiritual gifts all figured out? All right, not at all. All right, so do you think they were struggling with how to exercise them? All right, some of you are nodding your heads, yes. All right, so was Paul's concern with listing all the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit provides, or was his point to just kind of bring some of them to their attention and then with the idea that, you know, let's remember who it is that actually assigns the gifts and gives the gifts. And it's not our choice what we have. It's the Holy Spirit's choice. Would you all agree with that question in the affirmative? All right. Yes. Paul's not, a lot of times we look at some of these and goes, well, these are all the spiritual gifts. Well, I don't think that was Paul's intent here. Okay, I don't think Paul's just, trying to list, all the spiritual gifts that he can think of. I think he's listing ones that were maybe being utilized by the Corinthians, or ones they were having issues with and that they were struggling with, and they were thinking they were arguing over, which one's more important, and I have this gift and you don't. Because again, what was it the Corinthians were arguing over as far as who watered, who planted, and all? They were, who remembers? What, Clint? Say it louder. Yeah. He was like, some of you are saying I'm of Paul, and some are I'm of Apollos, and then the real spiritual ones say I'm of Cephas in there too. And then there's the super spiritual ones that I'm of Christ, I'm not of any of these earthly men. I'm of Christ. I'm a step ahead of you guys. So there was division. There was, pitting one against another here. And so as Paul is bringing to their attention these things, it's the idea that, okay, our gifts aren't to, it's nothing of ourselves. We talked about that several weeks ago, that it's not our natural abilities. Yes, we all have natural abilities. God gives each of us, our own, IQ and our own gifts as far as, whether you're charismatic or whether you're not, whether you're, able to really decipher and think things through, whether you're logical, whether you're just more naturally caring and nurturing, whether you're just to take charge and, you're just going to make something happen. You don't care who you run over and what the carnage is. And then you have the others where their, natural abilities is to clean up the carnage and try to put them all back together again. Okay, God's designed all of us like that, but that's not our spiritual gifts. And we have to realize, okay, my spiritual gifts are from God, and He's given them to me, and it's nothing that I did to get them. Just like my salvation. It's not, I wasn't like super good, and then He said, oh yeah, He's really good, let me save Him. No. We've got to set that aside and realize the Holy Spirit has a purpose for me, and He's gifted me to fulfill that purpose and for His good, for His glory, not mine. And so I think these Corinthians were struggling with, wanting to kind of, outdo each other with their gift. And so Paul, again, is addressing that, kind of just talked about that. So, as John mentioned, the Corinthians were idol worshippers. They were pagan Greeks prior to their conversion. And Paul is reminding them, this is something you used to be, but it's not you anymore. And so even though you had all these different gods, don't make these spiritual gifts now your idols or your gods. And he's trying to purge that mindset. For me anyway, I think, it's hard for me to imagine that because I didn't come out of idolatry. I don't know what it is to, serve all this multitude of idols and gods. But trying to put myself in their shoes, I could imagine how difficult it would be for them to have gone from, worshiping all these idols, all these gods, and now all of a sudden be told, no, there's just one God. We worship Christ. He's our Savior. And so now, what do we do? What do we do as Christians when we try to adapt something? I don't know if that's a great question, but let me see if you can. All right, we try to justify and do what?
Keep
trying. Okay. Yeah.
maybe we try to maybe sometimes water down theologically.
Okay. All right, we water things down. Okay, you're right. You know, we try to take what we know and kind of try to move it from, you know, pagan side now to a church spiritual side, and we try to just kind of shift it over. You know, so for the Corinthians, okay, they used to serve a multitude of idols, and okay, so now they're told that's wrong, don't serve all these false idols. So now they move it over. So what is their natural inclination? Right. You know, I still want to worship multiple things somehow. And so it's, you know, so now I'm looking for other things that I can kind of, you know, make, you know, maybe, you know, I understand, okay, God's the one I worship and God, he's my one and only. But we still have that natural inclination to try to worship or serve other things too. You know, so now they're kind of, what, Chris?
It's almost like a replacement.
Yes, it is. It's just replacement. You know, how many of you grew up, you know, in churches as teenagers and, you know, had like a youth revival where, you know, you were told to give up certain sins, you know, rock music and, you know, pornography or whatever. And what was the whole thing? You know, if you give up, if you're going to give up rock music, what are you supposed to do? Replace it with good music. You know, if you're going to give up...
Rock music is good music.
You've been gone too long. I think you're still suffering from that fever. Yeah, okay. If you're going to give up the bad novels, the romance novels, then what? You know, you replace them with a good literature. You know, and it's that idea that, you know, for most humans, you know, we operate on a replacement basis. And, I'm not saying that's like, it's just the way we're wired often. And so that is why we are to, you know, replace things with godly things, replace things with better things. You know, I say all the time, good, better, best. You know, and we're constantly trying to replace good with better and better with best and try to work towards that end in our lives.
I remember our health teacher did something like that. They were teaching us about no to drugs. And so for 24 hours, we had to give up something. And, you know, like salt. Salt could be bad back, you know, and everything like that. Replace it with something else. We had to go back to school and report and everything like that. And she's like, well, did anybody watch TV and everything like that? A lot of people.
Yeah.
I never watched much TV, but see, like, that's an addiction. Well, what did you replace it with if you didn't do it? I could care less about TV.
Right.
But, you know, people don't think about that too.
I mean, with smoke, I'm not asking if you have an issue with smoking or did in the past, but a lot of people, when they quit smoking, what do they replace it with?
Food.
Gum. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of slender people that smoke, you know, they quit smoking and they put on a few extra pounds. Because, again, it's this thing of, okay, I'm not smoking, so now I'm going to snack. I'm going to eat. I'm going to, you know, drink something kind of idea. You know, so Paul's addressing this that, you know, don't make these spiritual gifts your idols. Don't try to, you know, make them more than what they are. You know, Athens was filled with thousands of idols, and some of them were valued higher than others. And this is what the Corinthians came out of, you know, realizing, okay, this idol is more important than this one, and this one's bigger than that one, and, you know, this one has more followers than this other one. So he wants them to understand that there's just one Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is striving to manifest himself in different ways through different individuals according as he wills, according to his plan, according to what is needed in that ministry, in that local body of believers. And so he's going to take all these different members that are there and he's going to figure out, as the Holy Spirit, okay, you know, what what gifts do we need in this ministry, who do I have available, and then I'm going to endow upon them those gifts for them to now utilize to make the body whole and to make it usable. All right, so these gifts that Paul mentions to the Corinthians were unique to specific. Can anybody figure out my fill in the blank? I can give you more letters. You can, actually. What vowel would you like to buy? That would be down towards the end here.
Okay. How are you with Christians?
Like it's not enough letters.
It's not enough letters at all.
No.
I feel like I'm playing Daniel. Wait. One more, I think. Yeah, there. Hey. Anybody want to buy another vowel?
O.
A what?
O.
An O. There are no O's. An E, yes. There is an E.
Guess the word?
What's that? Yeah, we're trying to guess what word it is. Yeah, circumstances. Good, Teresa. Oh. All right. You do Wheel of Fortune a lot. So, you know, we can look at these gifts. I would say more so these are gifts that are unique to specific circumstances or times. You know, not all of them, but some of them. You know, as we look at them, you know, does every church everywhere, you know, need, you know, gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues? No, not always. Now, is that still a gift that is needed at times? Yes. I would say yes, that it is. But is it as common today in America as it was possibly in Bible days? No. For us. You know, so, you know, and we'll start talking through these things as well. I really want to kind of just work through chapters 12, 13, 14. It's all about gifts and things. So I just really want to take some time and kind of work through this verse by verse and kind of go through this as the next couple of things. So, you know, Paul mentions 9 gifts in the first 11 verses. Then he mentions 8 gifts in the last 4 or 5 verses. And the list is not meant to be exhaustive, right? He's just kind of bringing to their attention some of these gifts. So those are the 9, those are the 8. And then in between the list, Paul is arguing for this idea of diversity and unity. We're one body with many members. You know, there's one spirit, but, you know, many of us, many gifts. So I want us to keep that in perspective as we kind of start working through this, you know, this idea that it's one body, you know, one Holy Spirit, but, you know, within the one body of Christ, obviously there's lots of individual members. You know, some are the head. You know, some are the big toe, some are the little toe, you know, some are the little pinky and whatever. But all of them are necessary. All of them are important. You know, there are no vestigial organs in the body of Christ. Everyone is needed and necessary and have a job to do. And so just kind of, if you would, the next couple weeks, or this week, if you would, kind of read through chapter 12 and kind of ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and give you some thoughts, and we'll start kind of working through this a little bit more next week as well. Alrighty, let's have a word of prayer. Yep. Sure.
I mean, we don't have to do this at different times. Also, Richard, do you believe that, you know, you can have a spiritual gift, but if you were at a former church, for some reason they didn't either recognize it or they don't want to, like you said, everybody has a place. But for some reason, they didn't want to do that place. But then when you get to another church, maybe it's more pronounced and they see it more than others. I mean, I'm not saying favoritism, but if you believe that, that can happen to someone.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the gift would still be there. Just the atmosphere in which you're in would limit how productive it can be.
Or maybe one church needs that spot more than another.
Right. Yeah. Yep. All righty. Troy, would you close this in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet with each other. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We ask that you let us go this week with your Spirit. What about the kingdom business in Jesus' name?